Monday, the 2nd of May, a newcomer arrives at WTIC, begins to gather certain impressions of studio personnel. The following represents the sum total of said impressions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm stuck WTIC. I want to make this fog about my depressions of this place. Of course, when I first come here, it was all stranger and me. But it don't bother me because some of my best friends are stranger, you know. And the first day, I was met at Jack Murphy's there. You know, he's the inflammation around here. You have to insult him first, you know. Then I was going to Tom McRae's office, and I hacks him about get some job. So he was hacks me, how is it about your character is there? Well, I told him, you can't blame me for that. I was framed there. But I guess he was like me pretty much, because I was only on his office just half a minute there, and he keep told me if I come back and saw him again some other times, you know. Now, for make the short story long, he say he can put me on the hairs, you know. That's what it's called, sustaining programs there. On the English, that means sometime you eat and maybe no. And he say the pay, that's nothing for start. And after, I get twice as less. I say, well, I have for live, don't it? He say, that's a questions there. Then, you know, he was sending me some letter. It's marked, the rule of this company is that we don't want the help to discuss their salary with anybody. It's supposed to be the secret. Then I was wrote him some letter. I say, don't worry. I once said something. I'm just as ashamed of it as you are there. Then, of course, you know, I know the manager of this place, Mr. Morenci's. I known him for long distance now. I don't like to say this, but sometime, you know, he's kind of dumbbell there. One time, you know, I was taking fish with me, and we was at the Rose Boat there, and I was catch hold of big fish there. He was 27 inch on the long way and 8 inch on the flat wides there. But the fish, he jumped off the rope, and I was lost it. So I was saying, Morenci's, I think it's best if you mark this place, and tomorrow's we come back for catch that fish. So then we rowed the boat on the shore, and I asked him, did you mark that place? He say, yes, I mark it with some hex on the side of the boat there. I say, well, that's all right there. But how is it if we don't happen to get the same boat the next time's there? He say, he was never think of that, you know. The next time I hex the fool for do something, I'll do that myself, me, that's the best. Of course, now, I expect it, you know, someday for be the manager of this place myself there. It's just so near, I forget about 25 guy all the way that's ahead of me now. But, you know, they got some pretty good fella around here there, called the announcement, you know, that's like Bunny's there and Bruce there and Phil and Aries and George, and that's Bob's, you know, and Al Cole, well, he's a piano, anybody know that. And, you know, they go around all dress up, those fella. You know, they look like what they call a, that's a bow broomsticks there or something like that. And the girls around there, I'm almost a play afraid for look there. I don't know who was hire it, but they must have hired him for the arithmetics there because they all get the pretty good figures. I was known as that me. Now, there's one other fella, you know, he was trying to put me out this place there. And he goes around like some Ed Woody's chicken cut off there. I thought he was Dick Tracy or the Lonesome Rangers there. But come to find out, it was the Ben Hawthorns and he was riding a cow there. Of course, I could saw him. It was a pretty good cow, you know, by his brother. By his brothers there. And then I was met that coppers. You know, he's what they call a continual man's there. And did I tell you about him? Well, you know, the doctor was put the telephones on him there. You see, Mr. Coppers, you was just present with the 8 pounds boy there. And Copper, he say, that's good, doctor, but don't tell my wife. I want for surprise her there. And then, of course, there's another man, that's Mr. Wade there. And he was invite me on his house there. He's got some nice bathrooms, too, over on his house there. But, of course, you have to pay, you know, 5 cents for get in there. And then he's only got the paper towel. Of course, I don't try for say, you know, that he's a cheap skater there. But I was heard that he was feed his cat solid peanut there, so he gonna drink the waters all the time there. And he traffa told me, he see it cost him $3,000 for lives there. I say, well, don't worry that you ought to forgive yourself up there. But now I don't want all you peoples for think that I get the puff up me, because I always remembers what that fella on China there, that's confusion, he was said, you know. If you go around with your nose stuck up on the hairs, you can't sound the banana skins there. So the best of the happy Christmas and the Merry New Year's to you all,
And just remember, don't forget, there. Keep your chin on your chest, eh?
Time. March is on. Presenting more typical pages from the WTIC calendar of outstanding events of 1938, beginning with Thursday, May 5th.
Zella Sawyer, the killer cycle cutie, between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. on company time, starts and finishes Gone with the Wind, goes home exhausted.
Friday, May 5th. Bob, I think I'll build a transmitter ferry, tells fellow engineers.
I think I'll build a transmitter.
Engineers' reaction. Time marches on. Friday, May 13th.
John Quick Like a Rabbit Berlin picks up ringing telephone.
Tuesday, May 17th.
John Berlin says hello.
Wednesday, May 25th.
Pat It Ain't So Clancy and Herman Have You Got Any Pipe Tobacco Taylor finally agree on proper way to hit nail with hammer. Each hits the other's fingernail, departs happy.
Friday, May 27th. Bob, it's leaving here all right. Miner goes fishing, throws a cast, hooks seat of own pants, feels where the hurtier says...
Huh, another playhouse setup. Is that a pain in the...
Time marches on. Saturday, May 28th.
Bruce Greencorn Kern arrives at studio wearing a...
This news event censored. What the hell? Monday, May 30th.
Fred, name any dialect and I can do it, Wade, feels called upon to lecture WTIC announcers on matters of station policy. The lecture.
Time marches on. p.m., the 30th of May. Determined to command the attention of Christmas shoppers well ahead of time, a Western sponsor buys an evening period from WTIC, presents a unique series of pre-Christmas programs. Typical of this series is the following. Listen.
We now present the Golly Time Popcorn Program. Is your Christmas shopping all done? No? Then listen, because I'm going to ask Bob Stiff a question.
Don't know that one, Bruce. Ask me another.
What's the biggest Christmas present you can buy with a dollar?
Well, in my opinion, Mr. Corn, the biggest Christmas dollar's worth I've seen anywhere is the Golly Time Electric Corn Popper, like this one I have in my vest pocket here.
Boy, that's a big corn popper, ain't it? Hey, isn't it?
Yeah, you think the popper's big? Wait till you see the popcorn, Bruce.
Yeah, well, where do you send the dollar?
Wait a minute. That's on the next page. Friends, if you want one of these Golly Time poppers for Christmas, you'd better order yours right away because the offer may be withdrawn any time now, possibly before we're through with the program. And remember, you can't lose. Either you agree it's the finest popper you ever used or else.
And how much is the popper, Bob? Have you any idea?
Have I any idea? Yeah, I said it was a dollar.
Oh, only a dollar, huh? Uh-huh. Well, where do you send the dollar?
You got a pencil handy there, Bruce?
Yeah, sure. Can you give me a hand with it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Wait a minute. That's a heavy pencil, ain't it?
Well, it ought to be. It's filled with lead.
Yeah, filled with lead. Okay, here's the address. Send your order to Golly Time. Do you know how to spell Sioux City?
No.
Shamokin?
Shamokin?
Yeah.
Is that Pennsylvania or Wyoming?
Pennsylvania.
No.
Well, can you spell Poughkeepsie?
No.
I can't spell games. Well, I'll tell you, Bruce, maybe you better give me the dollar then.
Okay, where do you send it?
Sure. Now, getting back to the Kern popper, Mr. Corn. Kern, what is your name? It is, as I said, the finest popper made and is approved by Good Housekeeping Magazine, the Police Gazette, and Captain Billy's Saucy Stories. And get this, either you agree it's the finest popper you ever saw, or the Golly Time folks refund your dollar immediately.
Well, where did you say you refund the dollar, Bob?
I don't refund it. Now, listen, Bruce, I have another gift suggestion here. Look at these here.
Boy, popcorn bowls,
yes,
huh?
Sir, that's right. You certainly have sharp eyesight. 5 bowls, the big master in red, the 4 smaller bowls, 1 green, 1 ivory, 1 lavender, and 1 yellow.
What gay colors, Bobby.
They're unbreakable, made of lasting metal. You just tap your pencil on the rim of that bowl.
All right, here we go.
Boy, that bell is bold, ain't it? The bowl is built, ain't it?
You said it, or tried to, anyway.
Let's pop some corn, Bruce. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Corn's going to pop some kern. Bruce Kern is going to pop some Golly Time popcorn right here in the corner of the studio to show you how it works. All right, Bruce?
Yeah, we pour in a little corn, not much now, you see.
Yeah, this is strictly off the cob, of course, folks. Now, here it goes, into the popper.
All right, let's see. Fine. Just a trifle more, Bob.
Take it easy.
Now,
about three more kernels.
Well, that's enough. Now let's put the lid on it. Now,
yeah.
Okay.
Put the
get
lid
back.
There we are.
Stand
put
back.
Put the lid on.
That's it. All right. Ooh.
Boy, that's your pop, don't it?
Yeah, it's vulcanized.
Volcano, I...
Oh, I beg your pardon. Listen, let it go. Yeah.
Some copper, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, that's all pop, Bob. Get up off the floor and lift the cover off.
Why don't you lift it off?
I can't. I'm up on the chandelier.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I think the explosion blew it off anyway.
I guess that's what went by me a second ago.
Yeah, okay. Boy, oh boy, get a whip of that corn.
Golly, it's all pop.
Boy, let's dig in here.
What do you say?
Is that good? Huh? That's good. Say, what do you say you send the order, Bob?
Send it to Golly Time, Sioux City, Iowa.
How do you spell that?
That's S-I-O-U-X, like the Sioux Indians. You've heard of the Sioux Indians?
Oh, sure, sure. Wait, I'll write that down. That's,
get that pencil
again. S-O-S...
No.
U-S-O-S-U-X. No. S-I-I-X.
That's
wait
six.
Wait a minute, Bob. Can't we just send it to the Indians?
Say, that wouldn't be a bad idea at all. Bruce, send it back to the Indians.
Yeah.
And be sure you mention this station. You got your pencil there? I'll give you the station.
Here we go.
I hate to bother you with that pencil again. All right, you're all ready?
Popcorn.
It's wait a minute. W.
Yeah.
T.
T. Yeah.
I.
I.
Uh-huh. C.
Yeah.
You got that now?
Yeah.
W-T-I-C.
Well, how do you pronounce it?
We go into that later, Bruce. Bring your popcorn and a contraption there and so on. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll sue you all later.
In Sioux City. W-T-I-C, The Christmas Party, Hartford, Connecticut.
As time marches on. Presenting more typical pages from the WTIC calendar of outstanding events of 1938, beginning with the 1st of June when the station establishes new department of sound effects under direction of Edward Pantywaist O'Shea. Entire studio personnel is quick to reflect this new means of self-expression as follows. June 3rd, Gertrude Warner finally awakened. The awakening.
Oh, my. Men are different, aren't they?
Grace Sapsusian at the same moment. Olive Johnson at the same moment. Mrs. Edna Parsons at the same moment.
Oh, hell again.
Time marches on. Thursday, the end of June. Leonard Queen's Gambit Patricelli gets annual idea for a show, swells with pride. Result? Time marches on. Thursday, September 1st.
Ed Stevens disappears from mailroom. Big mystery. When last seen, was wearing a puzzled frown.
Saturday, September 3rd.
Stevens mystery solved. Turns up in LD room. Still puzzled.
Thursday, September 8th.
New drinking fountains installed in TIC corridors. Four announcers drowned.
Wednesday, September 14th. Paul Bela Lugosi Lucas answers a question. The answer?
Nope, not yet. I give up.
Saturday, September 17th. Margaret, I am quiet, but I see a lot. O'Loughlin reveals reason why she came to TIC. The reason.
Remember what happened to Annette Stevens? Well, I have hopes.
Tuesday, September 20th.
John DeLisa buys new car.
Yeah, fooled ya.
Thursday, September 29th. Claude Scoop Lockenvar Dorsey comes out of the West, establishes headquarters in Studio B as feminine hearts at TIC take on a new beat. The heel, the beat. Time marches on. Friday, September 30th. A different news service having been established at WTIC, combined with 20-second transcribed announcements at every possible second, our radio review presents an early morning announcer's impressions of this new feature. Listen.
How do you do? To most of you, I am a stranger, I know. But to people outside, I am stranger still. In my business, I am relegated with Cousin Billy Shakespeare to making speeches about the muling of babies and the pupil carting his satchel face off to school, and Pa in his skinny, wrinkled pantaloons falling down among the furnace ashes. So today, as they say in the ads, today I am going to broadcast the 8 a.m. edition of Dam Radio News. Thanks, thanks. We take you now to Studio A.
Good morning. Do you want some news? Well, this is the time for it. Have you got a cold in your nose? Listen to this one-act play that could happen in your house.
Don't do that, son.
I got it. My nose is stopped up.
Damn it, I can't keep a clean hanky in the house since Mumpf-Mumpf-Mumpf come along.
Prague, Czechoslovakia.
They won't give up. Do you sweat? Well, cut it out.
Don't do that, son.
I gotta. My nose is stopped up.
Damn it, I can't keep a clean hanky in the house since Baron come along.
Food to you, China. The Japanese are offended.
Damn radio bulletin.
Quiet, please, Dorsey.
The Czechoslovakian...
Shut up! Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, this is the real McKee speaking. When a Vermont maple is 40, it's ready to give. Take a look at the little lady on the green-labeled syrup can. She's just fit to be tapped.
Don't do that, son.
I got it, Bob. My nose is stopped up.
Damn it, I can't keep a clean hanky in the house since Ferment Cane come along.
Washington. Resident Roosevelt. Oh, hell. President Roosevelt. Bunnitz, Germany. Adolf Hitler. Robe, Italy. Buddy Bussolini. Birch Garden, Germany. They won't give up in Praha.
Damn radio bulletin.
Quiet, please. Commercial department at play.
The Czechoslovakians.
Scrap, Chiseler. This is a news period. Hold it for the candid cameraman, the sweetie.
I've got it.
Don't do that, son.
Damn it, I got it. Hartford, Connecticut. News that's odd. Sage Adams is just as good as foxes, and you don't have to walk so far. London, England. Mr. Chamberlain.
Unlax with unlaxer. You'll die laughing when those little upsets come along.
Don't do that, son.
I gotta go.
Damn radio bulletin.
Did they quit?
Yes, in Prague.
Never heard of the place.
Another transcribed health drama. The scene, a dark cellar.
Boo.
It's only me. Right. And when you don't feel good, make out like it's a hot time in the old town tonight. Outsmart your liver. 25 cents.
Washington. President Lincoln, when it looks like Lincoln, oh, hell, President Roosevelt. Oh, hello, Mr. Clancy. I've got a minute. Have you got a story?
I was in Chicago, me and me Burberry Court.
Just a second. That concludes this morning's complete edition of News. But wait, have a cabal. We bring you these complete editions of News 4 times a day, sometimes more if the situation warrants. Who are we to deny you the news? If something is happening in Bengal, don't boo. What do you care anyway? Have some nuts? And if things turn for the worse in Europe, we want you to know that any time, at the slightest provocation, we will flash the news to you. It's good to know that we are standing by to give you this world coverage, and I hope you appreciate it. Take today, for example. We might break in at any moment to tell you what is developing in Prague. We'll interrupt anything but a plug to tell you. The next complete presentation of news will come to you over this station at 6 o'clock tonight. Oh, hello, Walter.
Yeah, not 6 o'clock.
No, sold?
Yeah. Oh, well, read your old news sheet.
Comes now a recapitulation in our march of time, presenting a September page from the WTIC's Special Events Department, beginning at 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, September 21st, when
George Sawdust Bow, sometimes known as Billy the Boy Carpenter, leaves Glastonbury home for Hartford Studios. Weather cloudy, unsettled.
3:40 p.m. Wednesday, September 21st.
Big wind reported near Hartford, not Bow.
3:50 p.m. Wednesday, September 21st. Mayor of Hartford makes speech on WTIC. Closing remarks.
So as I say, fellow citizens, these alarming reports are utterly unfounded. The river is rising, yes, but everything is quiet. And so I urge you, fellow citizens, to be quiet also. That's the word, quiet. All is quiet in Connecticut. Repeat after me, will you? All is quiet in Connecticut. That's right. Shh. Just listen to the quiet.
p.m. Wednesday, September 21st. Mayor of Hartford picked up by SS Normandy. Mayor discovered 12 miles at sea floating in a bottle. March. Time marches on. Thursday, September 22nd.
George Sawdust Bow, still en route to WTIC, arrives New London. Asks if there are any good movies in town.
Friday, October 5th. George Bow checks in at Nantasket Beach, Massachusetts. Says,
I'm looking for the Traveler's Tower. I am. Honest I am. Or am I?
Tuesday, October 31st. George Bow, reported entering little boy's room at Bijou Theater, Sydney, Nova Scotia. Says Bow,
I'm heading for Hartford, but I'm afraid I've hit a bit of a detour.
Thursday, November 10th. George Bow inspects ancient prison cell and fortifications at Cape Diamond, Quebec City. Says Bow,
This looks like Studio F, which reminds me I'm afraid I'll be a little late.
Tuesday, December 8th. George Bow reported passing through Burlington, Vermont. Says Bow,
yes, sir. The Travelers is an organization mighty hard to enter. But once you're in for life. But I'll fix that.
Time marches on, too many years later. Finally, George Bow arrives at WTIC in time to collect old age pension. Says Bow,
next hurricane, I'm going to take the southern route. I always did want to see New Orleans.
Time marches on. Presenting more typical pages from the WTIC calendar of outstanding events of 1938, beginning with Monday, October 3rd.
Ernest, run my legs off for you, Peterson, starts work in TIC mailroom.
Tuesday, October 4th.
Ernest Peterson, unanimously voted, most obliging messenger boy ever. Are you blushing, Ernie?
Thursday, October 13th. Bernard Serap-Tongue Mullins, working on audition for Connecticut florists, adds new phrase to the King's English. The phrase?
Shall we shen flourish? Okay. So what shall we shen?
Friday, October 28th.
Benton Deming, Benjamin Benny Hawthorne, TIC athlete, rushes winter season, skis to work, falls and breaks his...
Time marches on. Tuesday, November 8th. The dulcet voice of Connecticut politics comes to WTIC. The dulcet voice.
Get on the phone. Get off the phone. Give me a cup of coffee. Take a bulletin. Where's McCray? Have these figures. Where's Bridgeport? The 37th precinct. What? Well, I set the bulletin down. Where's my coffee? What?
Time marches on. November 9th. Edna Look Ahead Parsons swears off intoxicating beverages. The swear off.
Damn it.
Time marches on.
Year of the great wind. Year of the great flood. Behind the grim walls of a hospital, tense living drama is being enacted. Time, Monday of any week.
Maternity. Dr. Storg speaking. Did you want me?
Yes, doctor. That maternity case is ready.
What maternity case?
I don't recall the name, but the father's from WTIC.
And the next day, Tuesday.
Dr. Storg, call maternity. Dr. Stork, call maternity.
Yeah, this is Dr. Stork.
That maternity case is ready.
What maternity case?
Another one from WTIC.
Wednesday, ditto. Thursday, ditto. Friday, ditto. Saturday.
Yeah, 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 I know. WTIC, why don't they drive home?
And so it goes, 1938, year of the great wind, year of the great flood. As it must to all expectant fathers, curiosity comes to one Edward Kingsley, the Laird's radio operator, who is anticipating an addition to his family sometime after the holiday rush. In the hurly and burly of the Christmas season, Kingsley anxiously seeks advice from the great mass of jolly time poppers at radio station WTIC, calls personally at their homes, finds out what's what with Popper. Arrive, folks, at the home of announcer Bob Steele.
Why, hello, hello there, my friend. Ed, stumble right in. Yes, yes, yes.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Bob.
No, my friend, not at all. I was only about to change the baby's diet. Diet. Great little fellow, yes. Just a chip off the old block.
Well, Bob, I'd like to ask a little advice.
Oh, yes, my friend, you certainly came to the right man. I've got just the piece of advice for you, my little friend. Put your dough on stuck in the mud in the fourth race at Agawam tomorrow. You clean up, my boy, it's a sure thing.
Yeah, but Bob, I want some advice.
All right, it's perfectly all right, my friend. Glad to be able to help you. Now, don't forget, stuck in the mud, on the nose, fourth race, remember?
Daddy!
Ah, there, my little chip off the old block. What now?
Put $2 on that nag for me, will you, Pop?
Undaunted, untiring, Kingsley next approaches the home of a famous radio rube, Paul Lucas, collector of fine literature. The Lucas Ranch in New Britain.
Oh, why, hello there. Oh, an operator. Come in, Ed.
Well, I hope I'm not disturbing you, Paul.
Well, to be honest, Ed, I was right in the middle of the Rover Boys.
Well, you see, Paul, I'm soon to become a father, and... Well, you know how it is. Mm. I suppose you're quite elated over your recent arrival. Gee, that makes two additions for you.
I have only one regret.
What do you mean, Paul?
This new one ain't a first edition. It's only a reprint.
Our intrepid interrogator and his tireless search for paternal knowledge drive ever onward. Into the wilderness that is Connecticut, he blazes a trail to Collinsville, site of transmitter engineer Carl Scott's new home, now under construction. Scotty, entirely absorbed in wielding the hammer on his love nest, forgets to announce that he is one of TIC's 1938 poppers. Kingsley trudges upon the scene. Scotty is on the roof.
Hello up there! Hey, Scotty!
Hi, Ed. What are you doing out here?
I saw I'd take a look at that new baby. How's it coming along?
Fine. Kind of fair right now, but as soon as it gets plastered, it'll be all right.
I suppose the rascal keeps his face trying to keep it dry.
Yeah, but when I get through applying the shingles, it'll stay dry.
Is that the first one?
No, I've turned out 3 or 4 other good jobs before. But boy, oh boy, this one's a honey. This baby's got a piazza front and back.
I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas. You ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a thin-cut fella from Horner's Corners. You ought to see me strut.
I'm a cape-cutting cutie. Got a gal called Katie. She's a little heavy-laden, but I call her baby.
I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas. You ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a ding-dong...
Still not discouraged by his thus far fruitless quest, Operator Kingsley staggers on, drags his weary little body to the maternity ward of the Hartford Hospital. It is November 24th, Thanksgiving Day. He is awed by a dramatic spectacle unfolding before his very eyes. He stands spellbound, watching an anxious parent-to-be pacing nervously up and down the hall. The doctor arrives.
Thank you.
tell me.
It's a bouncing baby boy.
But tell me, how is it?
There's nothing to worry about, Mrs. Cowper. Your husband is doing fine.
Can't you see what love and romance has done to me? I'm not the same as I used to be. This is my last affair.
With one last jolly time popper to interrogate, Kingsley calls dejectedly to the home of one of WTIC's 50,000 watts, Jake Watts, for the team Jake and Carl, yodeling peddlers of cow cantatas. Jake is deep in the throes of rehearsing his original and smart repartee, which has earned for him the title of radio's cleverest ad-libber.
Mighty fine, Carl. Mighty fine, Carl. Mighty fine, Carl. Mighty fine, Carl.
I hate to be a peasant and break in like this, Jake, but gee, it must be great to be a father and everything. Gee, think of all the husbands who haven't been blessed like you with your little night herder. Haven't you got a word of encouragement to say to them?
Keep your chin up.
Hold on, you little doggies, hold on. When I tighten my lariat, you're gone, you're gone. So make your feet fly, they'll be tied by and by. Hold on, you little doggies, hold on.
Grasping at the last straw, Edward Kingsley, in a state bordering on collapse, a mere shadow of his former self, is driven in desperation to solicit advice from a total stranger in the street.
Please, mister, please, you've got to help me. Have you ever been a father?
Why, sir, how dare you?
Kingsley, marches on!
Presenting more typical pages from the WTIC calendar of outstanding events of 1938, beginning with Tuesday, December 1st, when
WTIC engineer frightened out of his wits by an expectant mother on Farmington Avenue. For further details, see your local Al Jackson.
Wednesday, December 2nd, Bud Rainey, WTIC's big ray of moonshine, brings out new book. Does such a good selling job on air, buys a copy himself. Thursday, December 3rd.
Bud Rainey asks for money back.
Friday, December 4th. George Malcolm Smith, Demon Traveler's publicity man, suffers an accident. What was it?
He tripped over his own hyphen.
Thursday, December 15th. Three missing towns and Bill Sheehan's election returns finally begin to trickle in. The trickle. Friday, December 16th. Leonard Patricelli, WTIC iconoclast, voices disapproval of annual Christmas studio party. Says Patricelli,
why should Copper get in all the cracks about us? Why don't we get in some cracks about Copper?
Saturday, December 17th. Preparing Christmas party show, Cowper follows Patricelli's advice. Includes item about Baxter and Son. Says, time marches on. Tuesday, December 20th, 1:30 p.m. Following the regular WTIC station break, the following announcement is heard.
We bring you now a special broadcast, and the next voice you hear will be Harry Clark speaking from the WTIC workshop.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're now standing directly in front of the new WTIC sound truck, which is attached to a special earthworm tractor to be used in speeding up today's dedication ceremonies, as Mr. O'Shea, the WTIC sound expert in charge, wishes everything to move along rapidly. The tractor is decorated from bow to stern in red, white, and blue bunting, with the driver's seat at the top decorated with gold and fitted out to resemble the throne of royalty. Mr. O'Shea himself is garbed in the manner of a king and sits sedately in a dignified pose on the throne-like driver's seat with the mace of royalty in one hand and the throttle in the other. In just a few minutes now, we expect to have the honor of hearing from Mr. O'Shea, but while we're waiting, we'll give you a brief picture of the situation here at the starting point of the initial trip of this recently completed sound truck. Standing here to my left are several members of the engineering and dramatic groups who are assisting in this dedication, while in front of me looms the sound truck in all its glory and decorations, with Pat Clancy standing by to crank the tractor at a signal from Mr. O'Shea. At the present moment, the final stock of supplies is being loaded aboard, consisting mostly of old phonograph records, tubs, buckets, shovels, a quantity of old broken glass, and a couple of actors. There is a last-minute final checkup now being made, and for the moment, something seems to be out of order. Let's get over here and see what it is. Well, Pat Clancy has left his station at the tractor crank and is double-checking to see what is wrong in order to reduce this slight delay as much as possible so as not to hold up the demonstration in the executive row. Not only the WTIC executives, but the entire board of directors of the company
waiting anxiously to witness this mammoth demonstration. Well, Pat Clancy is still having a bit of difficulty locating the trouble and has decided to investigate further by opening the panels on the lower part of the truck and check the equipment therein. Right now, let's see, he's crawling into the interior and seems to have discovered something that is obstructing the machinery. Mr. O'Shea seems quite impatient and is champing at the throttle. Let's see if we can see what's going on now. Oh, Pat Clancy is now crawling out, and the obstruction that he has found is doing likewise and has proved to be Herman Taylor, who emerges quite nonchalantly with a soldering iron in one hand and a coil of wire around his neck. Pat has just indicated all is well, and before starting this trip to Executive Row, we will hear briefly from the man of the hour, Mr. O'Shea.
Ladies and gents, and a radio audience, and the rest of you smugs, listen, Ken, I want to say that this is the biggest moment in my life. Yeah, as soon as I get through driving this dainty little piece of fluff down to headquarters, where my public is waiting, I'm going to show you guys some really high-class sound effects, something you'll always remember. But the first part of the ceremony is going to be a broadcast of my initial trip. That's my first trip through the studio, see? Now, just a second, peoples, while I check up with my helpers and see that they're ready to get this here thing-a-roof going. All right, that's right, get it around there. Yeah, okay, pick it up. All right, let's go get this. All right, fellas, wind her up and let's get going. Okay, contact!
Here we are at Kenfield Crossing at F and Main. By the way, it's rather cold out here today. Guess someone's been monkeying with the air conditioning thermostat again. Now, that was just a little something to kill time until the feature attraction of this broadcast arrives. And now in the distance, the rumble of the O'Shea special can be heard quite clearly. It's rounding Murphy Corner and will pass by here shortly. I can see Mr. O'Shea perched majestically on the tractor that's towing the new sound truck. They're getting closer now, and as they pass, I shall give you a detailed description of the impression they made. Mr. O'Shea and the sound truck present a picture of extremely composure and confidence. That this is so, there is no question. And I think that without doubt you'll agree with me when I say that I have never seen anything quite like the picture he presents. But now that the truck has passed and you've heard my humble opinion of how everything appeared in action, we shall transfer control to Executive Row, where Phil Becker will carry on. Come in, Phil.
Greetings now, ladies and gentlemen, from Executive Row, where we are anxiously and somewhat impatiently awaiting the arrival of the new sound truck. In order that this initial demonstration of Mr. O'Shea's masterful technique in producing recorded sound for the enhancement of the art of the radio drama may proceed. However, while we're waiting, perhaps a few words in connection with Mr. O'Shea's experience and accomplishments in this field might be of interest. Mr. O'Shea, who has had an extensive background in radio drama, including both the major networks, recently accepted the position of WTIC as chief sound technician, and as such has developed several outstanding methods in the production of radio drama, one of his most well-known being the Ah-Voom system. Other innovations of his include the gymnastic system of visual cues and the high-pressure system of transcribed music. Mr. O'Shea has recently graduated from a course of instruction on the operation of sound trucks and now holds the degree of DDS, Doctor of Dials and Switches. Ah, here comes Mr., or rather Dr. O'Shea now, arriving with the sound truck. As was mentioned a short while ago, ladies and gentlemen, all the executives of WTIC, and in addition the entire board of directors of the company, are here to pass judgment of this first formal demonstration. Dr. O'Shea has just alighted from his throne on the tractor and is rolling up his sleeves in preparation for this mammoth event. He is now unloading the necessary supplies and is stacking them alongside, and has finally gotten down to a supply of sound effect records, one of which he now places on the turntable And in a very short time, we shall have the pleasure of seeing and hearing Dr. O'Shea in action. The directors are all leaning forward and sitting tensely on the edges of their chairs with looks of anticipation on their faces. Ah, there's the signal from Mr. Morency for the start, and Dr. O'Shea now springs into action. Listen carefully and notice how cleverly he disguises the fact that he's using a record. Ladies and gentlemen, the demonstration is over, and it's made quite an impression on the official witnesses, and all that remains now to climax this dedication is the official christening. Miss Peggy O'Loughlin has been chosen to break the bottle of champagne over the bow of the sound truck, and she's now stepping forward to perform this ceremony. Dr. O'Shea is standing proudly alongside, and Miss O'Loughlin now raises the bottle, and there she goes with a vicious right swing.
I christen thee Thunderbolt.
My word. Or in other words, holy smoke, there's been a terrible mistake. Miss O'Loughlin misjudged her aim and has hit Dr. O'Shea over the head. And he's fallen into the pile of supplies and has scattered them all over the board of directors. I can see the chairman of the board peering from beneath an old wash tub with a somewhat perturbed look. Miss O'Loughlin is standing in front of all this confusion, looking very embarrassed and not knowing exactly what to do next. And with a bottle of champagne still clutched in her hand. Uh-oh, Miss O'Loughlin is now drinking the champagne. Quick, Jackson, the switch!
Time marches on. Friday, December 23rd. For the third successive year, under the sponsorship of Edna 75 Cents Parsons, Santa Claus comes to WTIC.
And here he is, riding the funniest-looking reindeer you ever saw. So on your toes, everybody, watch the door on your right for good old Santa Claus. Hooray! There's an absent-minded Santa Claus for you. Came all the way down from the North Pole wearing his wife's unmentionables. But Santa is a quick change artist, as you'll see in a moment. After all, he's a man of magic, so he shouldn't have much difficulty turning pantalettes into pants. But while he's doing that in the client's reception room, the first time it's ever been done in there, I hope, suppose we give one serious thought to the origin of Santa Claus. If you remember your Mother Goose, woo-woo, St. Nikolaus was a German, wasn't he? All right, then, why don't we greet him as a German, for the spirit of Christmas surely hasn't changed a bit since Nikolaus first cleaned the chimneys in those North Germanic towns so long ago. So as we turn our eyes to the left again, let's rise with right arms extended at a 45-degree angle and shout with one united voice, Heil Herr Claus! Heil Sieg Heil Herr Claus! Heilige Weihnacht, Santa Claus! Kommen Sie herein!